and hot outside. Welcome, everyone that traveled a long way to get here. We have our upcoming meeting next month is August 8th here at this building. I'll turn the time over to Candace for our financial review.
Maybe. Good morning, board. This is July 11th, 2019, in case you wondered, because it's not the first Thursday. Hope you had a good 4th of July. This is the first meeting of the first trimester of fiscal year 20. We have 9 new projects, 1 pending project from Brian Head. You've already reviewed the Brian Head one. It was placed on the pending list, and they are coming back with the final request. We have 1 supplemental from San Juan. It's for the senior center. They had some issues, and they need some extra money to mitigate those issues. Please sign in, everyone that is in the audience. As you can see by the financial, I hope you all enjoyed iLegislate.
Yay!
Most of you did, and some of you will. Coming up. It's a very robust tool. It's much different than board docs, and so if you have any questions, please ask staff. We'd be more than willing to help. We've assisted a couple of glitches in getting into the agenda tool, but if you have any questions that I can't answer, I'll refer you to Nagi.
And you know my fee, $10 a minute. On my retirement scholarship.
If you look at the financial sheet, you will see that there is a preponderance of grant requests. The mineral lease fund, as near as we know the numbers as of today, with the revenue of today and the applications as submitted, there will be a little challenge in meeting all of those requests. The bonus fund is still readily available for an interest-bearing loan. And we did take out the funding that was awarded at the last meeting from the infrastructure fund, so you'll notice that the total on that is a little bit less, but still available for large infrastructure projects. And we'll go to that point.
Okay, well, I've already done the quick welcome, so let's do the introductions. We'll start with Mr. Galecki over there. No, I usually look to my right, but I'm going to start with my left.
Morning, everybody. My name is Greg Galecki. I'm with the Water Quality Board. We're representing the Water Quality Board.
Good morning. Dean Baker, Mayor of Naples City, and I represent Uinta County.
Good morning, Tudor Ogden from Sevier County, representing the 6 County Association of Governments.
Nagi Zinade from St. George, representing UDOT Commission.
Chris Reed, I'm the admin assistant.
Allison Garner with the Attorney General's Office.
Jonathan Hardy, Chair of the Board.
Good morning. My name is Keith Heaton. I'm with the Community Development Office. And for those of you who aren't introducing yourselves, make sure you sign in. There's a role at the back door. If you didn't sign in, you're not here. And if you're not here, you can't get money.
Say that again.
If you didn't sign in, you're not here. And if you're not here, you can't get money.
Candace Powers with the Housing and Community Development Fund Manager for the Permanent Community Impact Fund.
Morning. My name is Bruce Adams. I'm a San Juan County Commissioner from San Juan County. I represent the Southeastern Utah AOG.
Senator Ron Wilkinson, I represent Duchesne County.
Commissioner Mike Dalton, Beaver County. I represent the 5 County AOG.
Jack Lytle from Daggett County. I'm a commissioner there and represent Uinta Basin AOG. And I'm signed in.
Gail Gardner with Housing and Community Development Division.
And we have Brenda Brown walking around making sure everything's functioning correctly and everybody's signed into our electronic tool today. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll move on to item three, which is the approval of the minutes. You've had a chance to review those.
Accept a motion?
Yes, a motion to approve.
Second.
By Commissioner Lytle and a second from Mr. Zanotti.
Question on that?
Sure.
I think on down on, and Ron, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Greg Todd say that you had your money tied up in NRCS when you asked for the Duchesne County asked for the
A commitment, yeah, on the Dollar Ridge Fire.
Yeah, and I believe the minutes say NRSC.
Okay.
It's a very simple thing.
We'll accept that.
Yeah.
Commissioner Lytle, will you accept the amendment to your motion to make that correction?
Yes, I would.
Okay, and Mr. Zanotti, yes. Okay. Seeing no further comments or questions, a motion to accept the minutes.
I have one more.
Okay,
sorry.
Yes, Commissioner Dalton.
On the meeting on the Friday morning,
yes.
Said that Commissioner Lytle was absent. He showed up partway through the meeting.
That doesn't count.
He wants his money.
Maybe
so
he didn't want any money. Yeah. So he did come partway through the meeting, and it said he was.
And quite honestly, as far as the travel part of it, I didn't claim any travel because I was within 45 miles.
It's a good thing that you wouldn't have got paid.
Thank you.
There.
I was there.
But anyway, just.
Do you know what time you showed up?
It was after. It was
probably back in my phone log.
9:30, something like that.
You'd had the meat of one discussion pretty well done.
So this is just
we'll bring you in after the first discussion.
Yes, ma'am. 14. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
So we'll note that attendance also.
He was fashionably late.
I don't know if we'll put fashionably late in the minutes, but we'll.
No, but I missed that when I.
We'll count that he's there. Okay, is that also acceptable, Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you,
Mr. Snoddy.
Thank you.
With those corrections, all in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. We'll move on to our new projects. We'll invite the town of Central Valley to come up to the table and turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
The first project on the agenda this morning of new projects is the town of Central Valley. This is for 2020 street improvements. The request is for a $1,326,000 grant. They have applicant cash of $88,165 and some UDOT funding of $883,000 listed on the application. This project will consist of constructing roadway and drainage on Main Street and of Main Street at Center Street and down to Sevier River Bridge for 1.08 miles. In the description, Center Street, Sevier River Road, and South Main Street all require reconstruction of the existing roadways to address deficiencies present on both roadways. It says Central Valley receives $46,697 annually in BNC road funds and has a $31,625 debt service, and that's for CIB 2016 project for street improvements. My question would be, what is the status of the UDOT funds? Mm-hmm. Because only doing Center Street, that's UDOT going to that, at the $883,000. And the $88,165 is also put into that pot for the amount of the estimate for Center Street. The amount of the estimate for doing South Main Street is what they're asking CIB for. It's a $1,326,000 grant. So the board should review that. It's easier for reimbursements to do separate streets, but if UDOT is willing to put all of their money in with CIB, we can have the construction escrow and proceed with both projects.
Great. Thank you, Candace. We have our applicants with us. Do you want to introduce yourselves and add anything to that description? You may need to push the button there.
Yes. There we go. I'm Kim Peterson, Mayor of Central Valley. Just a brief history of our town. We fairly young to the governmental organization. We were incorporated in 2005, and so a lot of this is new, but we're getting used to it. We do have, we had a loan grant in 2006 for our back streets. About 2008, we paid for the chip seal of those streets on our own. Then in 2015, we come to the CIB and got a loan grant to do North Main and the Boulevard, and have completed that, and that is what we are currently paying back, the roughly $31,000. At that time, shortly after that started, is when we approached Rural Roads on the Center Street area and was approved for that. Currently, I have signed papers for the state to swap that money and so that we can start on the design of that portion of it. And that's basically where we sat. After this current project, we're looking staging-wise to our next major project. Probably will not be for another roughly 7 years, which at that point we would have our current loan with CIB closed and ready to do another project. And with that, I've got Dave Nelson, who is our town council over the road, and Carson DeMille with Jones and DeMille. So I'll let them add anything, and then we'll take your questions.
Sure, thank you.
I am Dave Nelson, and I'm the town councilman in charge of these roads. Basically, this is the third phase of what we look at, a four-phase program. That fourth phase will be when we have to come back in and discuss with you the possibilities of rebuilding Sevier River Road. We felt it was real important. We in 2015, CIB helped us fund an evaluation, Jones and DeMille did for us on these roads, so that we could plan this out over a longer period of time and get all of these roads reconstructed as need be. And that's part of the reason that we went to Rural Roads for some funding on Center Street, because that road did qualify for UDOT funding, where the other roads don't. So we thought if we brought that to the table, it would obviously help with this situation. If we take a look at this project, and I understand there's a lot of other projects out here and a lot of other requests for money, and I understand the limits of the budget, but if we have to wait on this project until we're able to service more debt, which, as Kim said, is going to be at least in 7 years, this project, at least South Main, is going to be significantly more expensive, because that road is deteriorating very rapidly. And so if we're looking at this just from a dollar standpoint, economically, it makes more sense to do it now and get this portion of it done, and then we'll take a look at the Sevier River Road in 7 years. That road, based on this evaluation, is in much better shape than the others. But if you're just looking at dollars over the long term, it makes a lot more sense for us and CIB to fund this project at this point in time, especially when we're bringing close to 40% to the project in the first place. So I would ask you to consider that at this point in time. And we are not in a position to be able to take a loan on this particular project where we're still paying off that other note. We just can't do that. So that's where we're at on this thing right now.
Yeah, let's go to the board with questions. Senator Winterton.
One of the questions I have is what Candace alluded to, is that we basically have two different projects here. you have funding for the one, and you're trying to show that as match money or money that you're bringing to the table for this, trying to combine it into one project. So the question is have you talked to UDOT? Will they be willing to release those funds so that they can go into an escrow account so it does show that? Otherwise, that money's going to be separate from the money we give you. So I think you need to have that conversation. And then, secondly, it's quite a large amount of money as a grant. There's no way at all you can take 50-50?
No way at this time.
So, yeah, I think, and we'll have you having this conversation with a lot of entities today on the, you know, BNC road funds are not the only funding source to pay for roads. So, you know, a lot of the times we look at this financial analysis and see where your debt capacity is, and, you know, they're most of the indicators do delineate that there should be some debt capacity there. It may not be BNC road funds. I think that would probably be a difficult ask, but those are probably some of the questions that Senator Winterton and others will get into today. Continue, Senator Winterton.
Well, and that's where I was headed to. Looking at your financials, it looks like that you guys are actually capable of taking some loan here. And if you could consider that, then I think that we can do some trading. But for me, I'm having a hard time with all 100% grant on this because we're mixing, commingling the funds, which if we do that, then Davis-Bacon applies to the whole thing. You can't say, well, this is our money and that's their money. It won't be that way if you're using it for match money. And so that's the hard part for me. So if we keep these kind of separated, then we can look at it that way, and we're not going to be able to.
The UDOT funds will be, they're transferring to state funds, so that this won't be processed through UDOT's requirements for the Davis-Bacon wages.
Okay.
And to this point in our discussions with this, UDOT's raised no objection whatsoever to what we were trying to do. I understand you want to look at it as two projects. We're looking at it as one, but I understand where you're coming from.
Well, if you've got that solved so that it's not federal funding coming into this.
No,
it's not. That's
what happens when we mix them.
Yeah, I've already signed the release for UDOT to exchange those funds.
Yeah, we're swapping the funds.
Okay. All right.
And as far as repayment, we're also just in the closing stages of a water project, which was an $800,000 project through the water funding through USDA Rural Development is taking some of our monies, you know, out of being able to take a loan.
Now, and to address this issue of other funding, right now, Central Valley Town, as small as we are, 600 people, we're the fifth highest taxed rate in the county. So that's not a real good option, okay, from looking at it from that standpoint.
Commissioner Ogden?
I've got to commend Central Valley for coming in. You know, they've got a plan there, and that's kind of what we want to do with all these little towns is get a plan in place. We've had other towns that's come in and asked for money and have not done as much homework as Central Valley has. And there again, I got to bring up the point that they are bringing 40% to the table, which I think is commendable on their part to be able to bring in $88,000 on this project. And they have got some match in there with the UDOT dollars as well. And I just have to commend them for their homework and going down the path and getting it put together the way they have. That's my comments on this project.
Mr. Adams.
In 2015, this board wrestled and wrestled and wrestled over a splash pad. I think it was in Central Valley I just want to know if you've enjoyed that splash pad as much as we did as we wrestled to decide whether to give you a grant for $60,000 for a splash pad.
For me personally, the wind blows too hard. I'm not really into that splash pad, but we have. It has been well utilized in Central Valley Town, I'll tell you that.
Our biggest problem is it's overused because it's the only one from Gunnison to way down south.
So yes, you need a bigger one now?
No, we'll leave with what we've got, but it has been very well used, by not just by Central, but by the whole county.
Mr. Galecki.
I guess a couple of discussion topics is that, so you're incorporated in 2005, and so I assume these roads were already established and paved and all. You know, a question to me, and then, you know, your plan is to come back for construction, you know, on phase four as, you know, probably another grant or some loan. I guess my question is that being a small town, have you looked at, are you, the affordability of having all the roads paved? Have you looked at that, you know, once will you be able to maintain the roads? And a side of that is that when the map was up, is there a need for all of it to be paved? And, you know, is it a high enough use that it couldn't be gravel?
They are paved currently.
Right.
So we would just be replacing the pavement on South Main with pavement, and yes, it is a collector. South Main is a collector road for the county, and it's not just used for Central. It's a road from Richfield or from Central to the Monroe, and a lot of people from the Annabelle area use it, come into Central and use it to go south to Monroe also.
It's kind of a unique situation if you've never been there, but we've actually got five roads that come into the center of our little town, and those roads are highly, highly used to get through to Washburnville, Austin, Annabelle, Elsinore. We struggled for a long, long time with just that intersection. And we was able to reconstruct that intersection to the point it's not a safety issue anymore on that last project. But those five roads are well used. Now, that South Main Road, why it was taken off UDOT's list of whatever, I don't understand the history of that, but it was. Center Street was left on, and that's why we were able to go to Rural Roads to get some money to fix that. But we've got an ancient historical map in our town center that shows that South Main Road used to be a state road. That's the way it's listed. But that was long. I may look old, but that was a hell of a long time before I was there that they changed that out. So anyway, these roads are oiled currently, and the count, part of the reason that we went to and got incorporated in 05 is, as Tudor can tell you, the county can't take care of all of them. You got to pretty much be able to deal with a lot of that stuff yourself.
I guess I have a comment for board members is that, you know, often, you know, we ask if they can, you know, take loan. And sometimes we'll make a, you know, some type of loan mix, and they right away say, we can do that. Indicates to me that they probably had more that they could take on. I guess as a process thing, we could always, you know, say some type of loan mix, approve that, and then they can determine, go back and determine whether they can truly accept those terms or not. Is that correct? I mean,
sure.
They can come back and say,
sure,
we can't, or they negotiate with the staff to see what they can, you know, truly afford.
Yeah. You're not funding it today.
No.
No, right. So I guess that's, you know, thinking is that if there's a motion of some type of loan grant mix, they determine from there whether they can truly afford it. I know if I was coming in as applicant and somebody said, oh, can you take on $700,000 worth of loan, you know, I don't know. You know, my first response would be is no, we can't take it. So they need some time to look at what they could really afford if we choose to do some loan mix.
Mr. Zanotti.
Mayor, can you keep the cash at this point and then go half and half, 50% on loan, 50% grant, like Mr. Galecki is suggesting? Because you heard Candace, very first statement was warning that we are going to be coming short on the money for today to get these projects approved. And you're the first one, so you have to take, I don't know how you're going to explain it, but you have to take some hit in order to get the rest of the projects approved. So think about it. I know you're getting quite a bit of lump sum from UDOT to get this project going, so that's a large grant. You're getting that already. And if you can get half of this in grant, half in loan, and keep the cash, maybe it will be a solution if it is doable.
In our 2015 loan grant, we took $250,000 in loan, which is $31,000. If we took 50, that would be well over $50,000, and right now we currently have like $14,000 in BNC road funds that is not encumbered that we're using to maintain our roads. So theoretically, there just isn't money there. And if I remember right, when in the 2015, you could only encumber a certain percentage of your BNC road funds. That was the maximum, and that may have changed, I don't know. And at one time, I did go back and look at what that would be, and we come up that we could, at best, and it takes money out of the maintenance part of it, meeting those criteria, the most we could do is $5,000 a year, which is very minimal, before we would hit that threshold for the C&B road fund encumberment. So that's kind of a hard thing.
You also mentioned that you're going to be coming back for the phase 3 and phase 4, so...
But that will be after, in our plan, that is after we have paid off our loan to you. So then at that time, we would be able to do a loan grant because we would have the funding coming in for that.
Are you getting any kind of, councilman, any kind of help from the surrounding neighborhood, what they're using your roads or they're dumping every traffic on your road?
No. You mean as far as the other communities that are coming? No. Just like we're not paying Richfield City because we use theirs either. So, no, we're not getting no help from that. But one of you brought up the point, can you maintain these roads? And if we have to encumber every dollar that we've got for CIB, that becomes an issue. Right now, we will be able to maintain them. There's time to... We watch our budgets pretty close, but if we've got to encumber the rest of that money, that becomes problematic. And I don't see any way, as I always mentioned to Mr. Hardy, any way that we can come up and service any more debt, especially with this water loan that's taking place. Just no way. Basically, what we're dealing with is that BNC road fund. And so... You know, whatever proposals you want to make, we're willing to look at, but pretty much that's where we're at, and we have to be worried about the finances of the community also and the ability to service that debt.
I guess you need to increase the splash pad fee to 50 cents.
That would be a good idea.
Let's go Commissioner Adams first and then Commissioner Dalton.
The $88,000, is that a match for the... For the UDOT mm-hmm. money?
Yes.
So if we pulled the $88,000 out for something else, then they don't meet the requirements for the UDOT money. Is that correct?
Well, they can keep it. It still qualifies for the UDOT match. Yeah, they're using it for the same purpose.
the CIB funds would qualify as the UDOT match, is what you're suggesting.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a 90-10 on the UDOT money, isn't it?
Right.
90-10. How many miles of road are you contemplating maintaining for that $15,000? Or 14,000, as the mayor said.
Totally.
How many miles do you have to maintain with that 14?
On the 2015, we did about 2.5 miles. We've got this one is.
No, I mean ongoing in the town. How many miles of road do you have oiled?
We've probably got, and then this one is, so that'd be about 3.5, almost 4. We've got another mile, 5. Somewhere around 7 in main roads, and that does not include the side street.
So how many miles?
So we're probably
how much maintenance? How much chip seal can you do for $14,000? Not much.
We probably have somewhere 10, 11 miles of road that we maintain with that 14.
We're at least 4 to 5, maybe 6 years out from needing to do any more additional chip sealing. We did all of that on the main road, the roads with the other project. So we know if we're in about a 5 to 10 year cycle, depending on what we get told, we're at least 5 or 6 years out before we got to do any major chip sealing on anything. Those side roads are all double chip sealed, and we got those completed very recently too. And because it's still a small community, the traffic on those residential roads is real light, so they don't deteriorate real fast. But it's always a crapshoot, one way or the other. You never know when one of those is going to break up, and you're going to have to do it. But that, to me, we're going to paint before we're going to have chip seal again, I can tell you that.
Is the work, and I apologize, I didn't go back and read it. Is this a new oiled road that you're proposing?
No, it's a reconstruction of an already existing oil road.
But you're going to be laying down asphalt?
Yes, sir.
So you're going to have to chip seal that next year?
Yes, sir.
And that's not included in the budget?
We haven't got a bid yet.
We're hoping.
We've got an estimate.
We're hoping that through the bidding and that we can hold back enough to chip seal that. But until we get the bid, that's a little hard to. That's what we're hoping for.
Question? Candace.
As I'm listening to the description here, I just want to make sure that everything that you're using this funding for is within the scope of work. You say you haven't had the bid yet for something different than what you're applying for here. But you're anticipating using some of this funding for it. It does need to be within the scope of work for us to reimburse.
Right. We understand that.
Let's go, Mayor Baker.
Just as I've been sitting here listening, kind of a comment as I've been trying to put it through my head. I know what they want. They want nice roads for the residents to do, and I understand that. I hear that all the time. But I'm kind of quizzing them where they want the roads, and it's just to give them the money. But have they considered maybe going in and increasing property taxes? Have they considered going in and implementing, and I don't know how much sales tax you get. Small town, you probably don't get a lot. But implementing a 0.25% sales tax so that you've got some revenue coming in to possibly pay on a loan, pay the payment on a loan. I look at sometimes you got to put a little more meat in the game to have the nice roads.
We currently do not have any commercial in our little community. That's another one of our factors. We don't have that ability to. We can raise sales tax, but when you raise sales tax on nothing, it's
that. I kind of figured you didn't have a lot
nothing
there, but.
And we did implement that alternate tax that they allowed us. That gives us about $5,000 towards our road fund. That's what we got out of that. When they give us that option, we did implement that. Yeah.
But that still takes us only up to about $45,000 neighborhood yearly.
And
to try to deal with.
As you all know, that varies a little from quarter to quarter, that B&C road.
Mr. Znotti.
Well, I know that to answer Mayor Baker's question about the commercial, they don't have a commercial park, commercial zoning at that town. I don't remember seeing it, so I don't know if they can even have one. Do you have a commercial zone?
Yes, we do.
Park? You do?
We do.
Is there any offer that come and have a hotels? And
no, we've got an outfit out of Cedar City that purchased that property up there and is supposed to put a dry storage type situation up there.
Okay. And that hasn't that taken place yet
that
either.
Hasn't taken place, but we did approve it and they did buy the property. So
my next question is from Carson. When you took the samples, core samples of the North Main and Central Valley Boulevard, which one had the worst to do?
The North Main and the Boulevard are essentially one road that just
becomes connected.
So they're fairly similar in consistency and quality and material. North Main has a little more traffic than South Boulevard does, so it had a little more rutting, I believe, than the Boulevard did.
Can one segment be waited for the next phase?
Those two segments are done. South, you're talking Center
North,
Street?
North Main, no, Central Valley Boulevard.
Those are completed already.
So this section is coming from the Main Street? Then?
South Main.
South Main.
And Center Street. And both of those roads, South Main is the worst condition of the two. There's very little structure there, and there's some shoulder damage, shoulders falling apart in several areas. It's probably the worst condition of the two roads, if that answers your question. South Main and Center Street, yes, South Main is the worst condition.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I see some side conversations going. Maybe people are formulating a motion at some point, or do we still have further questions?
I guess I have a question.
Mr. Galecki.
So if I'm getting the names correct, South Main and Center Street is in worse condition. Can the UDOT funds be used for that?
Only for Center Street.
That's why we went with the rural roads for Center Street, because it applied to their standards. South Main does not apply to their standards.
Candace, sorry to interrupt. How long can you defer payments on a loan? Do we normally often do 2 years or something?
We can do up to 5 years.
Two to 3 years at the very most can be deferred before it has to start being repaid.
And if it is, even if it's deferred, they do have to pay the interest. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Dalton.
What is the length of term on a road project maximum?
Well, it's the revenue source, really, that's pledged to
it's the revenue
pay
source. So if it's B&C, if they could handle a B&C, that's ongoing? Oh, it's 10?
10 years.
10 years for the B&C.
Okay.
And that's why I say that, you know, in 7 years when they come back for the phase four, then we would be in a position to do grant loan once again.
So this is a $1.3 million grant. The phase four, I know it's 7 years away, but as far as the scale of what you're going to be coming in for, with the scale, is that another $1.5 million project?
More than likely, especially when you consider the inflationary cost plus what typically construction's going up. Yeah, it would more than likely be close to that. Although the evaluation done by Jones and DeMille back in the day showed that road was a lot better based course underneath it. It's going to be significant. That's why we're not quite as concerned with that road. We've had it chip sealed recently. We don't need to chip seal it very soon again. But it's my best guess would be you'd be looking at about $1.5 million to do that. And not, I don't, Carson.
Well, I know it's a guess in seven years out, but just general scale of project.
And at that point in time, a 50-50 type situation is probably very doable based on CIB funds and BNC road funds. But at this point in time, it is no way going to fly.
I'll take a stab at it.
Stab at a motion? Okay, yeah. Senator Winterton.
Trying to help you out, but I'm thinking what you're asking CIB to do is to give you more than 50% of this whole project in a grant. What if we roll this back to give you just 50%? So it would be $1,104,000 in a grant, and then that would leave the remainder difference of what you're asking for is $221,000 in a loan, and defer loan payments on that, recognizing that in 5 years you're going to have the other note paid off that you're paying $30,000 on. So if we could defer payment, then but that's because we start paying the year after the construction is done, right?
Right, you'd start paying interest.
Yes.
Which means you will have a 9-year payment back to be within that 10-year. You have to have it paid off. So you'll pay interest, and then each subsequent payment will be big.
Yeah.
Because you've saved that principal, and now it has to be paid off in 6 years.
So what would that work out to be if they had to pay the note off in 6 years, and if we deferred it $221,500? I don't know. I mean, I was just trying to, I don't want to make it painful, but yet in most cases, if we're in half on any project, half of that is $1.1 million, not the 1.3.
So I might have an exact number for you, but if you look at the financial analysis, if you did a 75-25, which is a $302,000 loan, we have some, and you're suggesting something smaller than that.
Yes.
So a 10-year note on that. Do you have a suggested interest rate?
2.5%.
Well, I'm sorry, what?
2.5%.
So 2.5%. 10 years is for a $332,000 loan is $36,953. So, I mean, if you're cutting that by a third, around 25, I'm guessing it's around $25,000 a year if you fully amortize it over 10 years. And then, of course, if you defer it, then there'll be some accelerated payments once that starts kicking in. So that's kind of the ballpark we're looking at.
Well, that'd be my motion. That's what we consider, and then come funding meeting, maybe look at it. We'll have a better idea of what we can afford realistically.
All right. Let me see if I understand this. $1,104,500 grant, $221,500 loan.
Okay, wait.
We round up, right?
Yes.
So we either need to round up or round down there. So,
yeah.
So $1,105,000 grant,
okay.
$221,000 loan, 10 years, 2.5% deferred for 3 years is what you're suggesting?
Yeah.
Okay, that motion's in order. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Second from Mr. Galecki. Further discussion to that motion?
Does that look like that's something? I mean, is that going to be far reach? I mean, at least this is a proposal to bring you guys to the table and something we can maybe live with. 3 years of extension is quite a ways out there.
Well, it as Candace says, it doesn't help you out much when you double up the payments later on. you know, we're back in basically the same situation from a financial standpoint. And we have some preliminary figures if we had some alternate there let me take that back. I won't go into that part of it at this point in time. But I guess you can make that proposal. You can vote on it. If you approve it, we can always talk to you at the funding meeting if that's what you want to do.
Sure.
But we can crunch some numbers, take a look at it a little bit closer from that standpoint. But I'm really in the pit of my stomach saying I don't like that deferred thing because I don't know what that payment's going to be. I don't know that we can make that payment and still maintain those roads, and that's what all of your concern is right here now. I don't know that we can, so that doesn't help us a great deal. But we're willing to look at whatever. I appreciate Mr. Renneton, the offer there.
Any further discussion?
I have.
Mr. Znotti.
What is the timeline? When are you going to start a project?
The UDOT money, that project starts 2020. We will start on the design phase of that Center Street here right away, just as soon as the final agreement is signed on it.
Thank you.
Okay, so you might be out. I'm sorry.
Sure, Ms. Dalton.
I apologize.
Commissioner.
You might be out 4 years with the 3-year deferment. You might be out 5 years, actually 5 years, if you're not going to start till 2020. First payment would be 2021, and then you'd have your other loan paid in 7 years. Is that correct, or 6 years?
Yeah, we've paid three years on that other loan already. Okay.
So with this proposal, that gives you something to go back and crunch numbers and get some payment amounts and stuff like that, and see if it would work, and then we can visit at the funding meeting.
Correct.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, I'll restate the motion is. $1,105,000 grant, $221,000 loan, 10 years, 2.5% deferred for 3 years. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Mayor Baker opposes. All others in favor. Any abstentions? Okay. That motion passes. That's on the priority list. We'll have another discussion at the funding meeting. Thank you. We have a lot of grant applications on the agenda today, so I hope you realize that first discussion is an indication of how the rest of this is going to go. We'll invite Pinyon Forest Special Service District to come up and give a time to Candace to do a briefing on this project.
Item number 2 on today's agenda is from Pinyon Forest Special Service District. Their request is for a new office building. The monetary request is $310,000 in grant funding. The applicant has $20,000 in cash. The total project cost is $330,000. This is building a 52-foot by 26.7-foot prefab building with two office spaces, restroom, storage room, and a conference hall. Asphalt parking lot, curb and gutter, and sidewalk, which will be ADA compliant. The office will be used as a central warehouse to store district documents, computers, and SCADA systems, and as a meeting space. Right now, board meetings are held in board members' homes. In the public hearing, the county first offered to give a parcel of land. Now, Pinyon Forest will likely have to purchase the parcel of land. Duchesne County has agreed to enter into a lease agreement for that property. Is that included in this cost? This system is a water dispensing facility. DEQ may require the water system to be established as a culinary water system versus a water dispensing system. If you'll recall, when this board authorized funding for the water dispensing system, that was DEQ's admonition, is that this is temporary. You need to have a water system in place, and we'll let the applicant, I guess, speak to that.
Hey, you want to introduce yourselves for us?
Yes, I'm Jerry Nelson, treasurer, board member of Pinyon Forest Special Service District.
I'm Tyson Jukes with Ensign Engineering.
Great. Anything you want to add to the description or some of the questions there?
Yes, we, through discussions on the Rural Duchesne County Responsible Development Committee, we met with Tri-County Health Division of Drinking Water, and they've asked us to redo our master plan. It's been several years. At the same time, in those meetings, we've had three developers approach us that would like to put subdivisions in contingent upon our ability to supply water to those subdivisions, as well as an RV park. With that information, Division of Drinking Water has asked us to redo that master plan, and they've tentatively offered to pay for that. As part of it, it just expanded. We'll be testing all the wells in the area because we have some water quality issues out of some of the wells. Many of them are not usable for human consumption. That will change the phases of this. So we're looking, instead of putting another water dispenser station in, we're looking at building facilities so that we can provide pipe in the groundwater to subdivisions. Along with that, part of the master plan is we'll be looking at the higher density population areas within the district and calculating the cost to bring water to those areas. We've identified at least three or four that would be really good candidates to bring culinary water in. In addition, they've asked us to explore the possibility of, rather than have individuals haul water, because there is some concerns about sanitation and safety of them hauling their own water, the residents who pick water up at the dispenser station, they've asked us to explore the possibility of us providing that hauling service for residents. And we are looking at the possibility of a truck. So all of that's going to go in the new master plan. That'll be started fairly soon. And then I'll be taking most of the water samples from wells in the area. Tri-County Health is looking at trying to map that. Currently, Tri-County Health requires to issue a septic permit that they have a water source available. Recently, through negotiations and discussions, rather than requiring that they drill a well, they've accepted that most people will initially haul water because of the expense of drilling a well. And when we sample the wells, we'll have a good mapping of areas where it's possible to successfully drill a well and others. With that, I have personal interest in moving our operations to an office rather than my home. My wife would like me to do that, encourages me vigorously. And so all of the operations come out of my home. We are looking at hiring a part-time person to handle some clerical duties. I've had some health problems and have a hard time keeping up on it. But that way we'd have a place where residents could go and visit with a part-time clerk. We're looking at that, and that's funding that we can handle internally. But so there's a lot changing in our process. These phases are going to change dramatically depending upon the outcome of the new master plan. And we have talked to the developers about what they will contribute. Two of them have already committed in principle that they will provide the pipe from our dispenser facility to their subdivision, as well as put all the pipe in their subdivisions. So we're moving forward as fast as we can on those pieces.
Let's go to the board for questions on this project. Mr. Zanotti?
Jerry, why didn't you accept the county's offer of giving you the parcel rather than purchasing it?
That some changes in state law, the county indicated that they may be compelled to have us purchase the property rather than just give it to us. We are waiting for one oil company to notify us that they're not going to drill an oil well on that property also. We can get half of it, but we're...
But not all?
Pardon?
Not all of it, just...
We're looking at all of it. Okay. The whole parcel.
Thank you. Discuss
Commissioner Dalton? And then we'll go to Commissioner Lytle, because he didn't raise his hand, so he's in trouble now. Commissioner Dalton.
What's your user fees? Thank you. What's your user fee?
Right now.
You're collecting user fees, and
right
and how
now,
do they
it's
rate?
The same user fee that Duchesne City has. It's $45 a month for 8,000 gallons. We do have a graduating scale. If they go over 8,000 gallons, they pay more for water.
Okay. So... Only those that are using it. You're a taxing district, correct?
Yes, we are.
So you tax everybody within the district, and you have one user fee for those that are using water. You don't have a standby fee for those that can use water, that the water's available. If you run a water line past a piece of property, they don't have a cabin on it, they don't have a house on it. Are they paying a rate for standby, or are they not paying anything until they actually connect?
Not currently. They would pay as they connect. We're currently discussing, there's not a way for us to compel them to pay that unless they have. So we've discussed that with the county commission, and we're looking at the options for doing that exact thing.
You can compel them by raising the taxes.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay.
How many
are you currently serving?
There's about 96 users.
You have 96 connections.
96 connections currently.
And that's 45 a month?
Mm-hmm.
How many employees do you have?
Our board. That's it.
It's a paid board.
Paid board?
$50 a month.
Okay. Who manages the water? Who?
I'm the water operator for the district also. Currently, there's some competition for people doing it. Duchesne City has a water dispenser station, but they've been sending more people to us. We're seeing an increase in the number of property owners buying property with the intention of living there in our district.
Okay, so you don't have pipelines to the property. You have a dispensing
unit. We have a
unit. That yes. They come and fill their tanks out of.
Yes.
So you're charging them per gallon, or you're charging them $45 to get the first gallon, and then if it goes over 8,000, then it's a
then
different
it's
fee.
An increased fee. Rate per gallon.
Is that per time they fill?
No, it's a monthly charge.
12 months a year?
Yes. We do have some snowbirds. After this last winter, we may have a few more.
So you suspend paying?
No.
Okay, they still have to pay, whether they use or whether they don't.
If they have an inactive account, we charge them $10 a month to maintain the account.
Okay.
Commissioner Lytle.
Okay, so from your minutes, did you follow your engineer's recommendation in terms of being prepared for the option of loan versus grant? Beyond the minutes discussion that you had, what can you do from a loan perspective?
Loan would be difficult because...
They're all difficult. What can you do?
We could probably handle a small loan because we're looking within the next 2 years at significant investments in pipe in the ground and additional facilities. Part of the issue is we may be able to do it until that point. After that point, we would have a difficult time.
Under the current rates.
Under the current rates.
And the second question is regarding the where you disperse water there just off of Highway 40?
Yes.
How do people go and get water? Apparently, it's not just anybody can drive up and get
No, it. We program it in the system. They have an account code and a PIN code that they have to use. They can pull up, key them in, put in how many gallons of water they want, and it'll dispense it for them.
And charge against their account.
Yes, I pull reports off from that system every week. And it's a real-time synchronization system in my home. So we pull those reports and... Then we bill them each month and we show them water utilization.
Okay. And then another question regarding the your billing. When's the last time you evaluated your billing relative?
Our billing's covering operating costs. And
when's the last time you evaluated
It would have been...
Your rates, not billing so much.
Our rates? That would have been last fall.
And did it change?
No.
Okay. What do you expect it to change with the current work that's going on?
That part I haven't evaluated. I've had some health problems, and I'm running a little slow on running those numbers.
And so with the master plan that we have applied with Division of Drinking Water, we will evaluate the water rates and make our recommendations for the upcoming projects, what the water rates should be in the coming future.
That's going to be part of that new master plan.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Znati?
Jerry, you mentioned that your wife wants you to get out of that house. How much she's willing to pay for this move?
She would like just not to have so many people coming all the time. It also makes it difficult because we don't... addresses out in our area are a little bit difficult to find all the time. So sometimes we have to meet people and take them over and show them where they can drop off payments.
Okay. I would like to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, if it is time.
It's in order.
50-50, 10 years or 20 years at 2.5%.
So if I can get my 50-50 calculations correct, that's a $155,000 grant and a $155,000 loan.
Correct.
20 years.
2.5.
At 2.5%. The motion's in order. Is there a second?
Mayor Baker, I'll second that.
And there's a second by Mayor Baker. Discussion. Senator Winterton.
Well, I just have one question. You know, for me, this one, it's a good project, necessary, but I feel like that we're missing the financial page that gives us the information whether or not, and that's why I wondered, why have we gone through all this? I think the key component here for us to make a good decision is gone. It's not here.
So this is a question that came up because there's not a lot of publicly available financial information for the entity that we would normally pull. So so we actually pulled up the transparency website that's
right.
Maintained by the Office of the State Auditor in 2017 as the most recent level that's been posted for this entity.
And that was also the year that there was an audit performed which had some things that they needed to work on. And that's why I think that those financials are important for us to make mm-hmm. good decisions here, because there was some questions on that audit and things that they needed to work on. And so myself, I feel like good project in that, but this one ought to be placed on the pending list. I mean, I'm okay with a motion in that, and they have time to come back with the information for the funding meeting. But I think that for those listening, that if we don't have what we ask for, I feel like it's incomplete to process all of this without having the information.
Okay. And I'm very close to getting those done. I had surgery for lung cancer right before Christmas, and it slowed me down substantially.
I will amend my motion by subject to providing those documentations and report.
You okay with that, Mayor Baker?
I'm good with that.
All right. Further comments, Mr. Galecki?
It's really a comment, and that's that I, in support of Ron, is I always struggle with special service districts because we really don't know what their affordability is. And so that's, I think it's typically a special service district that I struggle with.
Yeah.
There's a lot to choose from out in that area that supply water, so easy to get confused.
There's only a couple that are actually authorized to dispense water.
Yeah, dispensing water is kind of a new one for me. But
I've never heard of that before.
Well, we have an extraordinarily rural area. To put pipe in the ground means cutting through rock everywhere we go. There's no digging in dirt. Commissioner Winterton can attest to that. So it's a very expensive project.
Seeing no further questions, I'll place that motion for a vote. It is a $155,000 grant, $155,000 loan, 20 years, 2.5%, subject to providing financial information, requested financial information. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? That motion passes unanimously. It will be placed on the priority list, and we'll see you at the funding meeting for further discussion. Okay. We'll be in contact on those financials. All right. Our next project is Carbon County Municipal Building Authority. Invite them to the table. Candace, this should be a short briefing, right? It's an ambulance, right?
I did sign in.
Good, thank you. Number three on the agenda today is Carbon County Municipal Building Authority. The request is for a new ambulance. The monetary request is $90,500. There is applicant cash of that equal amount, $90,500. So the project total is $181,000. This will be purchasing a 2019 F-350 two-wheel drive, 153 by 95 by 72 wheeled coach ambulance. The bid, which was for that vehicle, says that the bid is good for 60 days and pending chassis available. No taxes were included in that. Is this sufficient funding, and is the price subject to go up because of the 60-day window?
No, I think we're going to be okay on that. And any increase.
You want to introduce yourself, sorry, for the record.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Commissioner Casey Hopes from Carbon County.
Thanks, Commissioner.
We had actually budgeted in on our side for $240,000, so we should be able to cover any additional charges on that. So we should be good.
Anything else you want to add before we go to questions of the board?
No.
You may want to just be proactive and say how much money you can afford in a loan. Yes, Senator Winterton.
First question is, she says the bid's only good for 60 days. I failed to remember the date. When was the bid given? How much time do you actually have to order this?
I can't remember when that bid came in, but it was like 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. It wasn't very long ago. We updated that bid just before this meeting.
Well, this is pretty cut and dry, but unless nobody has any other...
I just have a question, okay. Yvonne.
Mr. Znotti.
Candace says subject to availability of the chassis. What does it mean? You don't have even the order in place? I mean, sorry, not the model is not available for you to purchase?
So there was a... yes, everything's in place. There was a... Between the 2019 and the 2020 chassis, there was a... They were running out of the 2019s, and pending the 2019s being available, they would give us a 2020. So that was the difference between the chassis.
It's still within a 60 days limit.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Adams.
Motion to approve.
May I second?
Is there a motion to approve by Commissioner Adams, second from Commissioner Lytle, to approve a $90,500 grant? Further discussion?
Do we need to suspend the fund?
You can make that as part of your motion if you
okay.
want to.
I'll make a motion that we suspend the fund.
Commissioner Lytle, is that acceptable?
Please, yes.
Further discussion to that motion. Mr. Galecki.
I have a comment, which some might find interesting. One, of course, Carbon County probably, you know, highly dependent on coal often. And, you know, that's somewhat dwindling as far as their income is concerned. But what caught my eye is out of 23 loans that they have with us, 19 of them are 0% interest.
I know.
So as far as sustainability, you know, that kind of hurts things. But at least, you know, they were loans. But that's just a commentary to keep in mind.
Commissioner Adams.
Well, in this case, we cannot do it. It's less than 100,000.
Right. I'm not saying.
Well, but before we make that, it's a $181,000 project. They're putting in $90,000 cash.
Okay.
So
okay. Yeah, we can keep the cash in.
You can keep that in mind.
Got it.
I think I was also told that. So we have another project where we're considering ambulances here as well today. So I think I was told that there are some local banks, the public finance offices, that can get like 2 to 3% on these types of products, similar to you going out and getting a very low interest car loan. So that's also an option for some of these things from the public finance perspective. It seems like these last couple of years have been the years of the fire trucks that we've bought. Now I guess we're starting off with the years of the ambulances. So this is something to just keep in mind.
Well, let me ask Casey then. Have you approached the local banks to see if they have any better rates or even similar rates?
We have not. As Mr. Galecki has said, really this was a chance at helping out our budgets for this year, knowing that our mineral lease monies have been dwindling, and trying to adjust funds so that we don't have to keep coming back to this board for ambulances, for things like that. Typically, in the past, all of our purchases of ambulances have come from our special service district, as well as fire trucks and everything else. We've purchased those with our mineral funds at the county level. It's just those have dwindled to the point to where they're making other payments, and this was a way to try and stretch our dollars as we continue to restructure our funding in the county.
Okay, thank you.
Just to put in a little bit of context, we just, not ambulances, but Green River City that did a mini excavator trailer and two trucks, we did all loan, 10 years, 2.5%, so that was a very recent decision by this board.
Sure.
I just had a comment.
Mr. Ogden.
Casey, on is this your ambulance, are they, how do I want to say that, kind of self-funding, their program? Spirit County, we've got it in place now that they basically take care of themselves. We don't put any county money into that. Are you guys to that point over there?
Mostly, yes. Except for the capital expenditures, it funds most of the wages and the general operating costs of the buildings. But we haven't got to the point to where it's covering the capital expenditures of the ambulances. But that's what we're working towards. It's close.
Mr. Glucky,
I'll make a substitute motion.
It's an order.
It's to do a $150,000 loan, 10-year, 2.5%, and a $30,000 grant.
I'm going to write this down. You said $150,000
loan.
Okay.
10-year, 2.5%. Similar to what we've done with Green River.
Okay, so is there a second to that motion? Substitute motion, sorry.
I'll second that.
Seconded from Commissioner Ogden. Any further discussion of that motion? And restated, it's $150,000 loan, 10 years, 2.5%, $31,000 grant. Applicant keeps their cash scenario.
Okay, that answers my question. That's applicant keeps their cash?
Yes.
Okay.
Question.
Yes, Commissioner Lytle.
May I? How do you? What's your thoughts on that, Casey?
I would have to take that back to the commission and also to our clerk auditor and see if we were able to take on the loan.
With the idea that you're keeping your cash.
With that same idea, we would probably still apply the cash up front on the loan. That would be my recommendation to them anyway, but we could look at that if that were what had to happen.
Could you explain to them why you made that substitute motion and
what your motivation is?
Yeah, well, similarly, of course, you know, we're trying to do funding on things. The other is that, you know, they do generate some, as Commissioner Ogden had stated, that they generate some income, and that, you know, similar to Emory County, how, you know, we did for equipment and such. I know ambulances are different, but we did a 10-year, 2.5%.
Thank you.
Mr. Adams.
If you look at the application sheet, board members, you'll notice since 2013, this county has taken on $18 million with interest on all of those loans. They're a big producing county. They've done a lot of projects, but they have a lot of debt.
Okay.
Question?
Okay, so the substitute motion before us is a $150,000 loan, 10 years, 2.5%, $31,000 grant. I think we may have different opinions on this, so if I raise the hands, who is in favor of that substitute motion? Mr. Galecki, Mr. Ogden. Opposed? All others? Any abstentions? Okay, that substitute motion fails. Back to the original underlying motion, which is to approve a $90,500 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Mr. Galecki and Commissioner Ogden opposed. All others in favor, that motion passes. That was a suspend and fund motion from the $90,500. So we'll get working with you on the contract on that.
Perfect.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Let's go one more project before we take a quick break. So we'll invite Grand County Municipal Building Authority up to the table. Seems like we've been dealing with this airport for several years now. Okay, Candace, briefing on this project.
Number four on the agenda today is from Grand County Municipal Building Authority. This is the Canyonlands Field Airport Taxiway and Commercial Apron Construction. There are two separate projects here. What they're requesting from CIB is a $265,000 grant for, with a project total of $10,289,712. They've got an FAA grant or have applied for it and do have a letter of intent for $9,774,000 approximately, $712,000 as indicated in your board packet. This will be for upgrading the taxiway and doing an apron project. The taxiway has kind of run out of life. So they're looking to do that taxiway, and they have gotten that FAA grant. This is to reconstruct taxiway A, which would be $6,163,000 of the request, and reconstruct a commercial terminal apron for $2,752,050. In the public hearing, to hear input in an application for a grant and possible loan from the Community Impact Board of $175,000, so how come it grew? How does this correspond to the 2018 runway expansion of $600,000 loan from CIB back in 2015, 2016? 2018. That was recent. Anyway, those are my questions. It's a good project.
Great. You want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. Hi. I've met many of you before at UAC, and those that I haven't had the pleasure of meeting, I am Evan Clapper. I am the new chair of the County Council in Grand County.
My name is Judd Hill. I'm the airport director at Canyonlands Field Airport.
I'm Tammy Howland. I'm the airport operations manager. I'm the person that has to fix the stuff when it breaks.
So no planes are landing today while you're all up here, right? I mean, we have all the important people here, so do you want to add anything to that description? Maybe answer Candace's question, because I know we've had a bunch of projects we reviewed related
Absolutely.
To this.
Do you mind if I... Sorry, just before we get into the nuts and bolts of answering Candace's question, you know, I did want to thank all you guys for being here. I know that it's a hard position to be in when a lot of people are asking for favors, and I can see that you want to say yes to everyone, and I don't envy you being there. But I did just want to underscore that, you know, this is the Canyonlands Regional Airport. So although it's got our name on it, I really see it as a regional project. This is the region's port to the world. It's not just about moving tourists in and out. It's also about goods and services. I don't know if any of you have happened to order anything off of Amazon or ever received a package from FedEx, but this is how we move those in and out of the region. And it also gives access to air travel for regional residents, not just in Grand County, but people are coming from Green River all the way up from Blanding to catch flights to Denver. And so it's a real asset for us in the area. And it's also a great employment opportunity. And so there's easily 100 employees out at the airport, which is quite large. You know, it's like a block of Main Street for us downtown. And there's employees coming from northern San Juan County that live out in Spanish Valley. There's employees coming over from Green River that live in Emory County. So I really see this port project as a regional project, and it is the Canyonlands Regional Airport. And so all of this great stuff that's happening all hinges on efficient operations, and a taxiway is a big part of that.
Thank you, Evan. To go back to your original question, so off the original financials, the first one was how come the number grew. One additional add-on for the financial considerations is, in addition to the request that we're asking for from you and the FAA money, we are also bringing $250,000 to the table of local match funds as well. When we originally had the public hearing, we had our first round of best guess estimates for potential project cost, and that's where the match money came out at the $175,000. We then actually went through a full bid process. We have bids in hand that for the work, and taking the low bid, that's the adjusted cost. Another component of the elevated cost is something that CIB considers, and I think it's a very good option, and that's a contingency for construction, because every construction project kind of has a little bit more contingency. The original application did not consider a 5% contingency cost. So it's actually funny with the FAA. They also will fund overages, but only through change orders, not through an upfront contingency. But the difference between the $175,000 and the $265,000 are accounting for actual bids in hand and then consideration of a contingency fund. We did have a legal review by our county attorney based off of the public hearing, and stated that the intent of the public hearing for the grant request did not need a secondary public hearing to address the increase in the actual value requested. It was by the legal review that we got from our Grand County attorney, was the intent of the public hearing and this general scope of the project, and the percentage of the request was outlined, and that's why we see the difference between the $175,000 and the $265,000. In response to how does this correspond with the runway, if you look on the figure behind you or on your particular monitors, that top runway is what we built. We were closed down for 4 months. Mr. Zanotti might understand what that's like for St. George right now. They're in the middle of that, and that's what we did last spring with tremendous success. It actually resulted in a year-over-year increase of 220% more usage, and lots of local new jobs created as well. The major difference between the old runway and the new runway was its capacity, 25,000 pounds versus 85,000 pounds. Welcome to the 21st century. The problem is the taxiway was built with that original runway. Taxiways, generally speaking, as well as runways, they generally speaking have about a 20-year lifespan. Last year was year 24, and you take something that's roughly 20% over its expected life cycle and then add on roughly triple its weight-bearing capacity, we literally had aircraft bust right through the asphalt down to dirt. We closed it down for several months, and then, like Tammy did a lot of work with our operations staff, and we were able to fill it back in so small general aviation aircraft can use it, but any kind of commercial activity is not able to use it. The orange portion in the upper right hand of that figure is the commercial ramp. And we do have it listed as two separate schedules, but as you can see, it's fully connected, and the basis of it is anywhere on our airport where a large aircraft could be traveling any time in the next 20 years, we want it to be a solid surface that won't be affected. I believe that hopefully addresses those two questions.
Let's go to other questions from the board.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti.
So let me make a correction on your statement, Evan. We don't do favors here. That is easy to do. They ask for hard cash. That's the hard thing to do.
Right.
So thank you for making we love to deliver favors on a daily basis. But when it comes to the hard cash, tax money, the public money, we have to be very careful.
I appreciate that.
So no problem. What size of the airplanes are coming in now?
Currently, we have, on a commercial basis, there are 50-passenger jets. The facility that this would upgrade us to would enable us to have the 70-passenger jets, which are the most common used for airports ranging from our size to St. George. The closest other airport for us is Grand Junction, Colorado. It's great. Our service is cheaper, so we actually are stealing money from Colorado now with this. But this would enable us to get up to the 70-passenger aircraft. And that's something that we very much need to consider because you guys helped us tremendously over the last several years. And that was in response to us losing our service because we weren't ready to take those commercial jet aircraft. The 30-passenger turboprops that were serving us, they finally got mothballed within the fleets of the United States. They're now flying down in South America, but they're out of the U.S. The 50-passenger jets are on their way out. We expect them to be completely removed from the U.S. service within the next decade. And the next step up that will be replacing them, and they stopped making the 50-passenger jets 15 years ago. They're still currently making those 70-passenger aircraft. And we are fully anticipating losing those 50-passenger jets sometime between now and 2030. This will put us in the position to be able to take those jets the next day, or sooner, depending if we have the corresponding demand.
So these are mostly commercials or private jets also flying in?
When I'm referring to those would be commercial airlines. We have corresponding private aircraft as well that are of the same size, wingspan, weight, or larger even. The 50-passenger jet right now, like I said, our runway in this taxi would be built to 85,000-pound dual wheels. That means the two tires landing at the one time. The biggest private jet we've had is over 100,000 pounds. And that rating of the 85 is that's for continuous daily use. It can go significantly higher for intermittent use. The commercial planes that are servicing us now are landing at 47,000 pounds. Going up to the 70-passenger aircraft would take it to about 65,000 pounds on fully loaded with fuel.
I have one more just clarification. Emergency medical services facilities was also mentioned in the public hearing. Was supposed to be part of this deal or just a totally separate?
Grand County Emergency Medical Services Special Service District. It's a mouthful. It's a recently created special service district, but still falls under the Grand County MBA. So that's why it was two separate public hearings held at the same time.
At the same time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Lytle.
Couple of questions. You said you're a regional airport. Do you have a regional board that manages this, or is it Grand County?
It's regional in the scope of Grand County manages regional in scope Grand County department.
Okay, and regional, and then you mentioned there's another regional airport, Grand Junction.
Grand Junction is a regional airport in Colorado. That is
it's an hour and a half away.
Hour and a half to 2 hours away. 2 hours away from Moab, yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'd be ready to make a proposal in terms of keeping your cash to make a motion for $515,000 grant or a loan.
Hang tight. But I think we have some additional comments and questions before we want to get to a motion. So,
okay.
Do you have any further questions?
No.
Okay, hang tight. Commissioner Adams.
I want to make some comments about this project. I like the airport there, and I don't have any problem with the project. My problem is this. You have a council here that opposes all the APDs that come out, not only in Grand County, but in other counties. They oppose oil and gas drilling. They also oppose retail sales of oil and gas, not in their county, but in my county.
Wow.
And I just think, you know, that this is a proposal that they collect a significant amount of TRT and restaurant taxes. I just think they can afford a loan. I think we as a board need to consider the whole package. And if Jack wants to let them keep their cash and give them a bigger loan, I'm okay with that. But I would think that the amount they're asking for ought to be in a loan. It ought to be with 2.5% interest. It ought to be for 10 years.
Is that a motion?
Questions? No, I'm going to let – I'll go back to Commissioner White if he wants to make a motion. Do you have a question, Mayor Baker?
I do. Just on employments, do you guys – what's your employments a year? Do you go over the 10,000?
We do, and that's thanks to the support that we got. We actually – our record for commercial before starting the project was 6,700. We should break 20,000 this year.
So you're definitely getting that.
We are in the million-dollar club this year. Yes.
Okay. What? Oh, sorry.
Okay, Senator Winterton.
Well, I just have a couple of comments because, again, just at our retreat last month, but the significance of the Mineral Leasing Act is to help mitigate the impacts caused by the production of those minerals. I don't see that this airport is combating that criteria. Theirs is caused by tourism, which I'm happy for them and glad to see that things are booming there, but it's not caused by the oil and gas industry. And so, as Bruce, Commissioner Adams said, TRT tax, we opened it up in the legislature to help mitigate some of those transportation needs. They have more money in TRT than they collect anything else of, and I think that this is an entity that's very capable of taking this loan, and I just want the board members to remember that, you know, we have little entities that have no tax base, nothing to work off from, that are probably well deserving of grant money more than this entity.
Thank you. Mr. Dalton.
In your public hearing minutes, it says that the council members gave Judd Hill a head nod that he can pay back the airport parking revenue with airport parking revenue. That meaning that you were expecting a loan and had the money to pay it back.
At the time when this project started, the county put forth a substantial amount of money to expand a parking lot. When I first started putting together this grant, I had not yet started a parking revenue stream. By the time I got to the public hearing, I'm now collecting an overnight parking fee to generate a revenue. So at first it did start out with the grant, but recognizing by the time we did this hearing, I had a month and a half of new revenue source and realize that, hey, this is putting us, it would be not for a 10-year period, but for a 20-year period loan, it would have the projected revenue from this new revenue source of parking to cover that cost for a 20-year basis.
Okay, so you can take a loan.
Numbers for the longer duration.
Commissioner Lytle?
Well, to support what I'm thinking in terms of this project and being able to save cash and be consistent with other airport efforts that have been done with large producer counties or large fundable counties, that I would go with combining them, save their cash, go with the $515,000 30-year loan, and I believe 2.5% is what was done with Uinta County.
30 years is too long.
Oh, it's too long. Excuse me, pull
we
me back
15,
on.
We did that with Uinta County. Mm-hmm. So I said, just be consistent.
So, let me restate that motion. $515,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5% is what you've stated.
Just in terms of being consistent, that was done in 2015, unless we've changed our rules or it's different money. What's
that'd be about $25,000 a month payment, or a year, excuse me.
Does the keeping the cash move the needle for you one way or the other?
No. Like I said, based off of that comment made in the public hearing, that was based off of we would likely put all in-kind cash directly to an upfront payment and then carry on the loan with the revenue. The revenue would not be able to cover the entire cost or cover that cost of a repayment. A revenue would be able to cover the cost of the $265.
Okay.
So put your money in it and then the balance exactly, loan is what you're suggesting?
That's what we would
so
be able to
that
afford.
Would be a $265,000 loan, 30 right. years.
How many?
30-year, 2.5%. You can pay it off faster if you want and make more payments. Or is that an amended part of the motion? Or
I can accept that.
Okay.
Second that.
So it's seconded by Mayor Baker. So the motion on the table is a $265,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%. Further discussion. Mr. Galecki.
One comment in support with Bruce is that, as I remember Jay Potter stating that, remember that those airplanes run on fossil fuels. And, so and the other part is that they're retiring debt, $25,000 this year, and by 2022, they've got almost $250,000 in retired debt. So it looks quite affordable.
Okay.
May I make a
statement?
We are definitely amenable because of our new revenue sources. Would it be beneficial for the board to get rid of or not deal with us and do a suspend and fund and moving forward on a 100% loan of what our request is?
I'll defer to the maker of the motion if he wants to amend that.
Certainly.
Okay. And that's fine with the second as well. So the amended motion on the table, $265,000, 30-year loan, 2.5% suspended fund. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, motion passes unanimously. Congratulations.
Thank you all very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's take a 10-minute break. So 10:20. Reconvene.
Okay. Number five on the agenda today is from San Juan County Local Building Authority. The request is for 3 emergency response vehicles. The request funding is $551,931 in grant funding. There is applicant cash of $50,000. So the total cost for this, the purchase of these 3 vehicles, is $601,931. This project will be for purchasing 3 2019 Ford F-350 4x4 wheeled coach ambulances. The vehicles requested would replace 2 911 trucks and an interfacility transport truck. My question would be, where are these vehicles located? Linda Simmons, the EMS director, is that you?
That's me.
Yeah. Explained why EMS is applying to CIB for purchase of 3 new ambulance vehicles. It's due to the increased cost of the ambulances and the reduced amount of reimbursement from Medicare. EMS needs a grant to purchase the ambulances instead of a loan.
Why?
Well played. It has asked where the three ambulances are being considered, where they would be located, and how they would serve members of Spanish Valley. Do you have that agreement with Grand County to do San Juan Spanish Valley? Is that what you have?
Yeah, we have an agreement that Grand County EMS is currently taking care of Spanish Valley right now.
Anyway, that's their request. It's all grant. It's for three vehicles, and that's where we are.
So hopefully we just reviewed an ambulance, the only difference, two-wheel drive versus four-wheel drive. So hopefully this isn't too long of a discussion, but we have our applicants with us. Do you want to introduce yourselves on the record?
So I'm Linda Simmons. I'm the San Juan County EMS director.
I'm David Everett. I'm the current county administrator.
Great. Thank you. I don't know that we need additional description, but anything you want to add to Candace's briefing on that?
Yeah, we're needing help. Like our call volume is up 42% from 2018. We are way more busy than I've ever seen. I've been doing this job for about 19 years, and the increased call volume that's coming now, we're trying to figure out if that is due to tourism or just the change in needing services. My county has kind of been, my ambulance services, we've tried to live on revenue alone. That is no longer the case. The county is really having to subsidize us right now due to insurances not paying like they used to. So we're just needing help in replacing vehicles. We don't have any vehicles right now that meet all the safety standards that are required to have, and so we're needing some help in order to comply with all those.
Great. Do you have a comment?
Just a quick question.
Question from Commissioner Lytle.
What's your number?
So last year at this time we were about, I think it was 264. We're about 364 right now. So we're about 108 runs up from 2018, just in the 6 months. The year before 2017, we did roughly 475. In 2018, we did 530, and we're already up 100 from there. So we're on a big increase of services that we're providing.
Thank you.
Commissioner Adams.
I want to speak as a senior citizen and a county commissioner.
That's an order.
So San Juan County is 5 million acres big, and it has all these canyons and all of these beautiful places that you can go, and people come to San Juan County to visit these things, and some of them get lost, and some of them get hurt, and we have issues. From the county's standpoint, Linda is awesome. She, like she said, she's been there 19 years. She knows a lot about how to take care of people. I know if they call an ambulance for me, I want Linda on the ambulance. We go out and pick up people all the time and hope that they can pay for the charge for that ambulance, and it just doesn't happen. We have enough people on Medicare, Medicaid, whatever the case may be. Somebody has insurance. It pays half of the cost of that ambulance. Linda, how much are you writing off on bill collection per year?
We probably have to write off half of what we're at 42%. That's what we collect is 42% of what we bill, and that's mainly because Medicare and Medicaid are my primary serve. That's who I primarily serve. And we make about 29 cents on the dollar when we bill them. So with that being my primary, the people that I cover the most, it's really hard to cover the cost of an ambulance service with 29%. And so it's, my funds are just dwindling. Nationally EMS is suffering, because there's just changes in everything. And 18 years I prided myself on being self-funded, and now I'm coming to a point where I can no longer be that way. And it's hard, but it's just the hard facts of where we are in in the EMS world and where the trends are moving.
So you see the problem we're dealing with. We do not collect the amount of money that it costs us to go out and provide that ambulance service. We are a big county. We've had some pretty significant problems in the near past with litigation, where we've spent over $3 million in defending ourselves against people that want to take us to court and sue us. We have one litigation that's pending right now that could cost us a little over $3 million in attorney's fees. I see David shaking his head there. And it's just not the situation anymore in San Juan County where we have these reserves that we can help out the different departments. I would not want to be picked up in an ambulance that wasn't certified and had Linda doesn't have an ambulance that meets those state requirements. She doesn't have the funding. She doesn't have the ability to pay back a loan. I mean, to me, this is as close to an emergency situation as you can get with only one solution, and that is to depend on the goodness of the CIB funds. San Juan County is a producing county. I've told you more than one time that the first oil well drilled in the state of Utah was at Mexican Hat. There was a time in the history of the CIB where San Juan County was the number one producer. We're not the number one producer anymore. Another thing that's happening, and I don't know if it's happening in all your counties, Linda cannot get any volunteers anymore. Nobody wants to volunteer to be an ambulance runner, to be a firefighter, to be anything. Everybody wants to get paid for anything that they do. Nobody wants to volunteer. And so I don't know how she deals with it anymore, but even to run the ambulances, she's going to have to start paying people. So whatever you want to do.
Who wants to follow that?
I just have a question.
I could break out in tears here in a minute if you want.
I thought song was coming soon, but Mr. Zanotti.
Linda, I know that we had the funding of one ambulance for you in 2014.
Yes.
So how many do you have in your fleet, the ambulance, right now?
So currently we have 8. We don't have the staff to do that. So if possible, if I get these 3 ambulances, we're probably going to do our best to get rid of some of the ambulances. The problem is like turning around and selling an ambulance means nothing to people, right? They lose their value almost the day that you purchase them. And to get what they're worth, I mean, what an ambulance right now is running about $200,000. If I was to sell an ambulance, it would be under $10,000 because nobody wants to buy those. But we're going to reduce our fleet. I don't, like Bruce said, I don't have the staff to run 8 ambulances, so they just sit in the, they just sit. And so I'd like to get rid of them. My oldest ambulance I have right now is from the year 2000. It's a really aging fleet. The last time I bought one was with you, and that ambulance has over 100,000 miles on it, and we've had to replace numerous parts to keep it running. And they're hard miles. In the county, we have like 1,700 miles of dirt road. So these ambulances take a beating every time that we go out. And like Bruce said, we're out in the backcountry a lot. And not all those people pay. They get on helicopters or they just need a ride back to their car. And then they refuse care and we don't recoup any costs from there. So that's what we're going to do. We're probably going to get rid of some of the ambulances that we do have and go with a smaller fleet due to smaller staff and do our best to cover the county the best that we can.
Tell them what happens as far as transport. Do you even transport anymore at the hospital?
So we are doing interfacilities, which one of these ambulances will replace. We have had a hard time covering all of those due to a staffing problem, because like Bruce said, nobody wants to be on an ambulance for 15 hours coming from San Juan County to the University of Utah. That's pretty hard to ask somebody to give that up for the day. So we've had to turn some of those down, and those transfers don't always pay because insurances don't always think that they're necessary. So we've had a hard time covering all those transfers, but due to some different ideas of paying, we have come back to covering all the 911 and all the interfacility transfers for the last 3 months.
So this will be three more plus the one 2014 will be four that you're going to keep.
Yeah, and those would be the main ambulances that we would be using.
And Bruce is going to retire in 2 years. You can use him as a driver.
Right. He volunteers all the time, but he never shows up.
Ooh, that grant might have just changed.
They want to go at night.
Yeah.
One more thing.
He has needed my services, by the way. He does make office calls to my office and say, do I need to go to the doctor for this? And I don't get paid for that either.
No wonder we don't have any money. One more thing. Can you do cash on delivery when somebody calls you? Otherwise, you're going to dump him halfway?
Yeah.
He's used to the lawsuits, so one more lawsuit is not going to make a difference.
Yes, totally.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Galecki?
It's probably in the notes, but I may have missed it. Do you need all three right now? Or?
Yes. We don't have an ambulance that's... most of our ambulances are over the mileage requirement. We are desperate for all three to put in all three towns. Candace asked where they'd be located. That'd be in Monticello, Blanding, and Bluff. And we'd be using one for interfacilities, which means they would be going in between hospital to hospital. And some of those hospital runs are from San Juan County to the University of Utah, which is a long transfer time.
So are there... I have a story because I was down in Monument Valley just 2 weeks ago and saw a small plane crash, like saw it live and an immediate response, but that was out of Golding. Is that like an Arizona response? Is that San Juan County still servicing that? Or?
So Utah Navajo Health System helps me cover the reservation part of San Juan County, and they do a fantastic job.
Okay.
But from a mutual aid standpoint, Linda's crews are always going to be available to respond, even on the reservation, as needed.
And we do cover Bluff and a small portion of the reservation that's kind of in the middle that's hard for everyone to get to. So we collaborate with all those agencies down there to make sure that that area gets covered.
Okay. It was like immediate response. I was shocked that there was emergency personnel like... right there, I mean, when it happened. It was
plane crash is pretty exciting, man. Everyone wants to go.
Yeah. Luckily, the gentleman only, or I don't know, it was the lady, just broke a couple of ribs, thankfully. So I'd never seen anything like that live. So it was interesting.
You'll see a lot of things in San Juan County you've never seen
before. I always do every time I'm down there. Okay. Further questions, discussion? How about a motion?
Go for it, Bruce.
Senator Winterton.
Motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Okay, a motion to approve from Senator Winterton, seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Is that right? Okay. To approve a $551,931 grant.
Can that be suspended fund?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that question.
Okay, that's a suspended fund? You okay, Commissioner Lytle, on that?
Yes.
Okay. It's a motion on the table. Further discussion?
I just want to make a comment along with what Bruce has said. I'm a firefighter, and it's difficult to find people that will work in these capacities anymore. And so I've got to commend you for that, to continue to do that. And it is a struggle. You know, we went through and got a lot of our EMS people certified to be paramedics. And it cost the county a little bit, but then we were able to raise that fee. But obviously, in your situation, maybe you don't even have that option. I guess I want to just make a comment here.
Senator Winterton, when you're up there at the Capitol, it seems like we are having a lot of struggles in these rural areas with our B and C roads, and it's impacted because of tourism. Mm-hmm. All of our emergencies in all these rural areas is impacted in because of tourism, and yet we need to find a way to get them tourism dollars out of that pile of money that they have. They have, I don't even know how many millions of dollars they have up there in that fund. But if there's any way that you as a senator and others would consider looking into that, because all of these roads that we talked about are traveled by these people from all over the Western United States, all over the country, and yet we have to go out and provide these services. And I'm not saying this directly to you, but you sit in a position that maybe you can help with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that the people in the small rural areas need to go up and they need to visit with their senators and their representatives and say, hey, you know, we're suffering in these little areas. We can't afford to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going to get to the point that nobody's going to go out to find them. Because there's no money, there's no people. So, just a comment.
Second motion. Thank you so much for that comment.
can I support that comment?
Yes, you can.
We have about 980 people supporting over 30,000 people on a weekend. In terms of in that same event, we've got three. Right now, we can't get EMTs to volunteer, so we're having to relook at paying for either contracting with Gold Cross or any whatever entities with the ambulances. A lot of people get flown out that wouldn't typically be flown out because of lack of that. But I think the one good thing is, from an equipment standpoint, we're not short. And that's thankfully to CIB and other projects. But in the long run, how we get this equation to kind of balance a little bit, especially on the lower populated counties, trying to support these services. And I know there's, you know, different funding sources that do help with that. But just to kind of put an exclamation point on what the commissioner was saying in support. Both commissioners.
Good.
Can we amend the motion for Linda to stay another 20 years?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
We'll move to Daggett County.
Wow, I love the negotiation that's happening here.
All right, before it gets too expensive... The motion before us is to approve a $551,931 grant.
Suspend
and fund. Seeing no further questions or discussion, all in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? That motion passes unanimously. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good luck. I could sing a song.
No. It just takes long. I like your singing.
Don't ruin it for me,
Bruce.
Okay, don't ruin it for me.
Pushing your luck there, Bruce.
Let's move on to item number 6, Town of Antimony, and we'll turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this.
Number 6 on today's agenda is from the Town of Antimony. It's for road improvements. The request is $325,000 in grant funding. There is applicant cash of $175,000. This project is to chip seal 0.69 miles on Drywash Road, 200 East and Parker Road, 0.44 miles of double chip seal on Drywash Road and Mount Dutton, and 2.42 miles of grinding and double chip seal on Bench Road. From the road addendum, Antimony has stated that they had a study completed in 2019 indicating the recommendations to street improvements and their current conditions. Continuing maintenance after this larger project is scheduled out for approximately the next 10 years. This is a small agricultural town that was stated about 8 times in the application. Garfield County will provide the labor to install the chip seal, which is a good thing. If Antimony will purchase the materials and provide oversight and planning. Are they paving existing gravel roads would be my question.
Great. We have our applicants with us. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Shannon Allen, the mayor of Antimony.
Tyson Jukes with Enzyme Engineering again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Candace, for your explanation. That was very well done. Very clear as what we're asking for and what our situation is. To answer your question, part a little bit of that I can't add up right here, but about 0.26 miles of that is dirt road that would be paved. Our situation on roads, we have tried to maintain our roads with our BNC road funds, and they just don't go far enough with the inflation and the cost of paving and chip seal. We are becoming a tourist destination, and our roads, three of these roads, two of them, well, three of them are mountain access roads, and one of those has heavy logging traffic, and that eats up roads. And our BNC road funds just haven't kept up with the necessary maintenance requirements. What we're asking for is we have accumulated $175,000 in our BNC road funds. We're hoping for some help from CIB to put the roads in good condition now and use the incoming CNB road funds in the future for maintenance and try to, with the schedule set up, stay on top of maintenance on these roads. But like Commissioner Ogden said, you know, the funds that come from the state on CNB road funds, and we're not alone in it, just don't cover the requirements that we have on roads. And so that's our situation. As was stated, Garfield County has been helpful in agreeing to do the labor on the chip seal if we will provide the materials, which greatly decreases the cost of the project. One of the roads, the bench road that talks about, has been there for many years. It's been added to and added to. It's driving on it is similar to going across furrows, and it needs the high points ground off and the chip seal. It has some drainage problems. And so to address the drainage problems and build the shoulders out so that the edges of the road don't ravel, don't crumble, that's part of the project. Anything to add to that, Tyson?
So mostly just with the county supplying the materials has helped us go a long ways with this. And so that's the thing, is we want to do the double chip seal and all that they can be able to supply those materials and help the town out.
Great. Let's go to the board for questions on this project. Senator Winterton.
double chip seal, are you going to grind the road first or just chip seal as is?
So for that bench road, we will be grinding and double chip sealing. The other ones we won't need to grind because they're in pretty flat condition. And so we'll just be double chipping, double chip seal, and a little bit additional base course on most of the other ones.
So do you have a master plan for the roads? Have they been, you know, inventoried to the point where we know what kind of maintenance there is that's going to be coming up? Or I guess what I'm getting at is I want to know whether if we give you this money, are we indebting you to the point where you can't maintain them and you'll have to be coming back for another maintenance grant?
Sorry to interrupt, but yeah. No, so we've locked down the cost estimate and talked with the county, and we've also talked with the person that's going to be doing the grinding. And we have the cost estimate that will supply them with good roads and a maintenance strategy for 10 years out, as Candace said, so that we can maintain these roads and just continue on that maintenance where we don't have to come back to CIB for any more funding after this one.
But you're talking specifically these roads. What about the rest of the roads in town? Or is
so
this the
is
whole
pretty
inventory
much,
of town?
This is pretty much the town.
Yeah, this covers just about everything. There's just one little stretch that's not covered in this, and it's got one home on it,
yeah.
120 East. So this would cover everything, and we do have a maintenance plan outlined to cover this. And like Tyson said, hopefully not have to. Our plan is not to come back to CIB or anyone else to get on top of it, stay on top of it. Our plan to this point has been shoot where it needed the most help. But we've been behind on the maintenance aspect of it for so many years that it's just been hard to get on top of it.
Do you have access or do you get any TRT
no.
tax money at all?
No.
Because I know the legislature did do a little tweaking to allow some of that money, and I hear what the good commissioner was saying about that, that we really do need to look at how can we help you better, because a lot of those entities are sitting there with a surplus of money, and the only way they can get rid of it is to invite more people to come in advertising, and it seems like it's not footing the bill.
Well, they advertise for people to come to the Mighty Five and come to Southern Utah, but they don't help us take care of them when they get there.
Well,
and we're just talking roads. We're not talking EMTs and so
I know
on, but it's still...
It comes back to medical services, any governmental services you're required to keep. That, you know, as a state, we need to really seriously look at this.
Other questions? Motions?
I have questions.
Question, Mr. Zanotti.
So, Mayor, I'm reading your minutes from June 6, 2019, and the last paragraph said that Chico project will move likely to be funded with no loans and, of course, match. That's not the correct statement. We look at all the projects, small or big, cheap or expensive.
I don't believe I made that statement. But
I don't know. Somebody has said that cheaper project will more likely be funded with no loan. We have had some project with a $10 million request, and terms were right, was immediately approved. Well, we had also a $10,000 request. We just kind of talked about it for 2 hours.
Let me put that in context.
Okay.
There was another proposal from the engineers that on the bench road talked about completely removing the road, grinding it down, and putting in a 2-inch overlay and then chip sealing next year, which would have greatly increased the cost.
Okay.
The comments in the public hearing that you're referring to was the cheaper project that we're proposing would have a better chance of being funded.
Okay.
Than that expensive. I see what you're saying.
Thank you for the correction.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. We would love to have the overlay and do the more expensive.
Well, of course.
But we didn't want to be greedy.
Does anybody have further questions?
I don't have a question.
A motion?
Yeah, motion to approve as presented.
Second. That's an order. So a motion made by Commissioner Dalton, seconded by Commissioner Ogden to approve a $325,000 grant. Further discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Priority. Yeah, this would be on the priority list for the funding meeting.
Yeah, this wouldn't take place until next year, right?
Right.
So are the estimates on the price, is it pretty well, or are we going to be shocked?
Yeah. No, you won't be shocked. So where the labor is being mostly applied by the county.
The county is still online for doing it. They understand it will be bumped to next year, and they're fine with it. The commissioners and the road engineers agree to that.
Question, if I might.
Hold on. So any abstentions to that vote? We've already voted on this. Okay, I'll declare the vote as unanimous to approve and put it on the priority list, but it's good we can get some questions out while they're here. Commissioner Lytle.
You've got cash plus the work you're going to be doing, or is it? Are you doing it in kind?
No, we have cash. We have cash.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very
okay,
much.
Thank you.
Thank
we'll
you
see you in October.
Thank you.
Our next applicant, as they come to the table, we'll turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this.
Number 7 on today's agenda is the town of Leamington. It's for a town hall roof repair. The request is $100,000 in grant. The location is in Millard County. The issues, this project will consist of installing an approximately 15,000 square feet standing 26-gauge metal panel system on an historic building. It's a very cool building. If you looked in this application, that's just my commentary opinion. It's way neat. Should be preserved. From the AOG comments, preservation of this town asset is a quality of life issue. This building represents the pioneer heritage of this community. The building was dedicated in 1911. It was built over an eight-year period by initial pioneer settlers and their descendants. An addition was built between 1928 and 1933 for $37,000. The steeple was modified between 1969 and 1971. The question would be what resources were used to do. They have other projects, and they've indicated those in the description. For this area, they've done a playground, horseshoe pits, fence, sidewalks, air conditioning, and a new floor. And now they need a new roof, which I think would be a priority. Lymington's annual budget is $37,500. And from the minutes, Dave Franson wonders if a metal roof works for a historic building, as do I.
Very good. I'm Clark Nielsen, Lymington Town Mayor.
I'm Russ Finlinson. I'm on the Town Council.
As per the question, that it's historical in nature. The building was, the steeple was modified not quite 50 years ago. I talked to the Dave, I believe his name is Dave Hansen, historical.
Right, Shippo.
Yeah, and he said that this roof, metal roof, would be fine for that building. We can't currently get historical status because of the steeple modification. But we are coming up on 50 years. Here in a year or two, it will definitely be 50 years, and maybe we can work with them again and see about funding for the building. But so that's where we're at on historical. We'd love to have help from the historical associations. Anyway, Russ, if you...
I'd just like to add a few things, just so that everybody is aware. There's just this is not really a roof repair. This is really a roof replacement. We have to go ahead. There's no sheeting underneath the existing roof. And so, therefore, it's got to be taken clear down to the rafters and then go ahead and be resheeted in order to go ahead and be able to have the metal roof put on. This past year, with the rainy weather, we've found that, you know, we've discovered several more leaks that have occurred, one major, one minor. One is affecting the bleeding through the walls in the chapel. And so this is just a matter of something to go ahead and preserve this. This building is the hallmark of the community. It's the center point of all of our community activities that go on. We have a celebration called Lemurado Days. It is now started in 1945 and has continued through that. But we have a lot of people that go ahead and use that. The building is utilized for a museum that's been established in the basement of it. And we also go ahead and we can see on the outside there where we build a handicap ramp that has gone up now from on the left side up to the left side of the building to go ahead and accommodate that. But with the modifications that we put in, new floor and everything like this, we build a handicap ramp on the inside, but we still have to go ahead and buy a handicap lift that will actually go ahead and elevate it up to where the original stage was, you know, basically where the bishop was and people set up there. And we've got to, we want to go ahead and establish this year, put in a new handicap bathroom that will be available, that will allow people to use the whole top floor of the structure at that particular point in time. So those are the improvements that we anticipate this year. But the big thing is we have four major leaks in the roof at this particular point in time. And so we just realized that since it was turned over to the town in 1982, okay, from when the new church was built, then we don't think there's been a roof put on it since probably the church put a roof on it. So this is really important that we go ahead and save the integrity of the building by going ahead and put an entire new roof on the structure at this time. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the questions from the board. Mr. Zanotti.
I have personally been through this building. I've seen the building. I love it. I'm a by nature structural engineer, and I love old historical buildings. I wish you had not modified the steeple in order to classify it as a historical building. And I know that anything and anybody older than Bruce Adams needs immediate attention. Otherwise, I'm going to start singing blues. So I motion to approve as presented, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
That motion's in order from Mr. Zanotti and a second from Commissioner Dalton to approve a $100,000 grant. Further discussion?
Substitute motion.
That's in order.
I didn't really get a good sense of affordability and what other things they have. I'd suggest, but my motion is 100% loan, 2.5%, 30 years.
Substitute motion on the table by Mr. Galecki is a $100,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%. Is there a second to that? Seeing none, that fails. Back to the underlying motion for a $100,000 grant. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Mr. Galecki opposes. All others in favor? Any abstentions? Okay, that passes. It's on the priority list for the October funding meeting, a $100,000 grant.
So we thank you very much.
See you in a couple months.
That's awesome.
Wonderful. Okay, Town of Levan. We'll invite you to the table. Candace, briefing on this one.
Number 8 on the agenda today is from the Town of Levan for a new utility shop. The request is for a $90,000 grant. There is applicant cash of $8,903. This area is in Juab County. This project will consist of erecting a pre-manufactured building with 5 overhead doors on a concrete pad. Property is already owned by the town. From the description, this will allow much of the equipment and supplies to be brought in out of the weather, protecting it from the elements and allowing the town to have an area to store and maintain the equipment. It will be insulated and have utilities stubbed to the building so the heating and cooling system may be added at a later date. That is what I have on the new utility shop.
All right. Want to introduce yourselves for us?
I'm Bruce Rowley. I'm on the city council of the Town of Levan. I'm also the director of the ambulance there, and I wish I'd have been looking for an ambulance today.
Yeah, the needing of ambulance.
Today's a good ambulance day. We some of our equipment that has to be parked outside, and you know the weather just takes a toll on it. So we're here to ask you guys to help us out with the building.
Okay, questions from the board. Senator Winterton.
Do you have a bid for this building that, as I look at it, it's pretty cheap, and if it's a metal building, does it not have concrete in it?
We do have a bid, and it's in the packet there. We actually had a couple of bids for it, and it does have concrete in it. I wasn't directly involved with this bid, and I was actually kind of surprised, as you are, but this is a local contractor, and I guess it's a pre-manufactured building. But it does have concrete in there, it's insulated.
80 by 80. Yeah, well, personally, I've directed several of these.
Sure.
And I question, that may be the price for the building, but the concrete usually is twice what you pay for the building.
Yeah.
And the labor to put it up is another half of that. And so I really question whether you can do this for $90,000. And it doesn't say anything about engineering, so are you guys assuming the liability on that?
I guess where it's a pre-manufactured building, I'm assuming they have engineered the building.
Well, they'll engineer and tell you what kind of cement put under the beams, but the rest of it, I had a hard time with this, thinking that you can actually do it for that. Mm-hmm. That's one of the problems I had.
So in the notes, Candace, the concrete pad already exists. Is that right?
No. No, they've got $22,000 here for the concrete in there.
Okay. Why in the notes do I have down a concrete pad on property that's already owned by the town?
The property is already owned by the town.
Not the concrete.
Okay. On property already owned. Okay. All right. Thank you. Other questions? Motions?
So the bids is included the concrete work?
Yes, the bid has it here for $22,000 in the bid.
Did you have copies of other bids? Or
I'm sorry, I don't hear.
In terms of what the, how, if there was others, in terms of the discrepancy or discussion in your minutes, how the bid was chosen? Or was it just a...
I think...
to his question.
Yeah.
It seems like if it was the low bid, then or was it taken, or is it just an estimate?
No, we had from what I understand, we had three contractors bid on it.
So the procurement process, this is what came out?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that I would have questions to see what the other bids were like or what the discrepancy mm-hmm. is, just based on the conversation. I'd not be willing to go forward without a little more information.
Keith.
Generally, when we look at applications, we haven't gone through the complete bid process. We normally just go with one estimate, and then obviously the applicant's encouraged to make sure that they've gone through a proper bidding process once they have some funding.
Good point. Thank you.
Questions? Motions? We can. I mean, we obviously have time between now and the funding meeting to get more surety. If you want to make that a part of any motion or place it on a pending list, or I mean, those are options on the table as well.
I'll make a motion to place it on the pending list.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion to place the project on the pending list by Commissioner Adams and seconded by Mr. Zanotti. Are there certain things we want to ask the applicant to clarify before we reconsider?
Yeah, definition of this inclusion of the concrete pad.
So I think most of it centers around the cost of the concrete and okay. whether this is... If you have other bids, it'd be nice to see what those
sure.
other bids are, especially on the concrete portion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our board members who do these all the time in their counties and stuff can, you know, get a little more surety on that issue between now and, you know, we could even bring you back next meeting on the pending list. We can come back at any time if we have some of that information. Any other information we want to request from the applicant? Yes, Commissioner Lytle.
Thank you for coming forward, and the questions are certainly not because we're not supporting the idea or
sure.
the thing, but just
we don't want to start down this road and then get another application because we can't complete the project.
Because of supplemental and then looking at loans versus grants and
right.
all the things that can happen.
Yeah. Okay. Commissioner Dalton?
Is this what's your start plan? What's your date, start date that you were planning on doing?
We don't have that set right now, so you know we would be fine to, you know, it's just something that we need to get going and get done.
Why I was asking you that is this is an estimate. It's not a bid that I would take as a bid.
Yeah.
If it said bid up there instead of estimate, that'd be fine.
Does it say? I'm sorry, I didn't look at that part.
And is this estimate good on May 17th, and it's still good on July 17th? Will it still be good on September 17th?
I see. Yeah.
Okay, that's information that I'd like to have. And if you can gather that information and get back on next month's agenda,
okay.
You're still not going to get it funded until September, is that correct?
October.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that's great.
So the motion before us is to place the project on the pending list, gathering those items of information before it gets reconsidered. Any further discussion of that motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so on the pending list, we'll get with you to get some additional information and work to get you on a future meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, St. George City, bring you up to the table. We'll turn the time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Number 9 on the agenda today is from St. George City. It's for a city office campus expansion project. The request is for a $12,557,000 loan, 20-year at 2.5%. This project consists of expanding and remodeling the City Hall to accommodate a new customer service area, additional space for human resources. You have read the description. It's quite an expansive project. The city hall is nearly 40 years old, and the city police headquarters is over 20 years old. They've got some preferred options in there in your application. It is pretty straightforward. It includes building addition and remodel existing space, site improvements, project inflation costs of $725,407, a contingency of 5%, and the subtotal of this building is just under the ask. They also request the spend and fund for this project. This project is in Washington County. It's all loan.
Great. We've got a whole slew of people here to talk to us today, so if you'll introduce yourselves.
I'm Adam Linhart. I'm the city manager.
My name's Mark Mortensen. I'm the support services director and responsible for facilities in St. George City.
I'm Deanna Berklasich. I'm the budget and financial planning manager.
John Pike, mayor.
Thank you, mayor. Anything you want to add to the description? You've obviously passed out some things, and we've got a poster board there as well. So what do you want to add to the description on this?
Well, we appreciate that introduction, and we appreciate coming before the board. We're glad we got here in time to present to you today. As many of you are aware, in fact, if not all of you are aware, St. George is a bustling place, live with activity, and we've seen substantial growth. We've been obviously the fastest growing community many times over throughout the country over the last three decades, and that growth continues. We have a philosophy in St. George where we use up and make the best use and wear out every building and piece of equipment that we own. And we've done that with these buildings here. The City Hall, as Candace mentioned, was built in 1980. And at one point that housed 105 full-time employees. We now have over 700 full-time employees at the city. And we've exported every department we possibly could have exported to satellite buildings around the city to the tune of 30 different facilities that they're housed in now. We've grown in population from the time we built City Hall from 11,500 essentially to today, right around 90,000 people. And over the next 20 years, we suspect we'll double that in population to roughly 180,000. The police department building, which sits immediately to the north of City Hall, we like to think of it as kind of the city campus, but that building directly north of us was built in 1998. At the time, we had 50 sworn officers. Today, we have 120. And that basically houses all of our police operations, including a dispatch center, which is we dispatch for all of Washington County. Washington County, in addition to St. George City, is growing at a rapid rate, roughly with a population of about 175,000 today. And so they rely greatly on the dispatch center. When we built the dispatch as part of the police department, we had a total of 12 dispatchers. Today we have 40. And they're just, we're out of room. In City Hall, in the police department, we do have employees housed in hallways. We have them in closets that we've converted into offices. Almost every conference room we've converted into office space for employees. And we're in desperate need of doing something. We've analyzed the situation over the last year. We've looked at every scenario, and we feel rather than build new buildings, it would be better to repurpose the existing buildings and expand them and remodel, giving the best bang for the buck to our citizens. We also have plans in City Hall to, and I know I'm jumping back and forth between the two buildings, but they are relatively close to each other. But in City Hall, we also plan to build a 311 communication center to better serve the residents of St. George. And I don't know if any of you have been in that parking lot on any given day, especially on Tuesdays when all the contractors and developers are at City Hall presenting their plans to our planning and zoning. But there's just absolutely no space in the parking lot for shift changes with police officers. There's cars up and down the roads, and in some cases you park a block or two away and have to walk into City Hall. And we think that's unacceptable for the services that we're used to providing for our citizens. And so we'd like to ask CIB to help fund phase two and phase three of our project. The City of St. George is putting 3.6 of its own money to fund phase 1A and 1B, which is a parking structure that you can see on the slide behind the board member Heaton and Hardy there and Garner. And there's a parking structure that will allow us to expand parking for City Hall as well as some additional parking for the police department up to the north. And we plan to move or relocate 911 dispatch into another building that we own, which is phase 1B. That was formerly a 5th District courthouse. We've converted into an operation that we have now used for our leisure services department, our IT, and soon 911 dispatch. The amount the city is putting into this project represents roughly 23% of the overall project cost, which is $16.2 million, and we're asking funding from the CIB for just over $12.5 million for the project. And we've got some really knowledgeable people here, so I'll stop talking and let them answer questions as you deem necessary. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to the board with questions. Yes, Commissioner Dalton.
This seems to be a wonderful presentation that you've given us, and this is a 100% loan. I'm ready to make a motion to fund as presented, including suspend and fund.
Second.
Well, I guess we weren't going to have a long discussion on this. Okay. So there's a motion by Commissioner Dalton and a second by...
You've done an excellent job.
Commissioner Lytle to approve a $12,557,000 loan, 20 years, 2.5% suspend and fund. Further discussion of that motion? Mr. Zanotti wanted to make some statements because he personally toured it. He wants to tell – I've been down to the City Hall many times, but he wants to tell me about all the closet spaces. So.
I just – when I got the agenda and I saw the $12.5 million, to be honest with you, as a citizen first – as a member of this board, I thought, my good mayor is up to something no good. So I called him next day immediately. I said, Mayor, I need to have a tour of the place. You need to explain to me exactly what you're trying to do, how you're going to spend $12.5 million. He was, of course, kind to say yes, but then he was smart enough to say, I'll ask some other people to give the tour. And the first one on the tour was chief of the police. And the first station was the booking and the holding cells. How smart he is. But I wasn't intimidated. I said, I would like to see more. So they took me. And honestly, it is for the city of 87,000 population, that office, they're frugal. I'm frugal by nature, but they are more frugal than I am. And they've done everything they can accommodate. In one place, they had 3 offices per room, no windows. The interview room for the children, abused children, was just a tiny 4x4. It was just amazing to see how they have really used all these spaces. And then, of course, every other place that we did go, the same thing. But mainly the 311 and emergency and dispatch center. In the dispatch area, there was about 15 people side by side, no cubicles, no privacy. You could easily hear the conversation on the phone commingled. And then, of course, next one was just gone. There were 5 of the dispatch people with the nursing mothers. They had a room 8x10 with the note on the door, private room, do not enter, while they're feeding babies. I just want to let you know that they have done everything possible to accommodate every penny of that for the last 40 years. Thank you. My compliment to all of you, and thank you for being here to ask for this money. You deserve a gold star beside the money. Thank you.
Mr. Glucky.
My only question is, why suspend the fund?
It's a loan.
No. Thanks, that's my...
And they're bursting the seams. They need to have it yesterday. That's my observation.
Construction costs in Washington County go up, up, up every day.
By midnight, you have to just buy stock market.
I don't know how fast we can get a bond closing done, but I guess it has to be by midnight, Candace.
Chairman, I thought maybe...
Mayor Baker.
He was going to ask for his own parking spot, reserve parking
spot. I wish that was the case.
I park across the street with the city manager.
Yeah. Okay, seeing no further questions, the motion before us is to approve a $12,557,000 20-year loan, 2.5% suspend and fund. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we have the town of Bryanhead coming off the pending list to be considered, so we'll invite them up to the table. I think you're coming here like on a monthly basis, it feels like. So, Candace, anything you want to add here?
When they were first here, this is number one on the pending list on the agenda today, Steam Engine Meadows Phase 1-C Streets and Utilities Project. When they originally came in, they did not have the water and sewer components with this. They want to complete the area while the roads are dug up. And so this includes the added water and sewer components. The request now is just a little bit different than when you reviewed it the first time. It's the same project, but with those added components. The request is $1,105,000, all loan, 20-year at 2.5%.
Move the motion.
Move approval. I have one comment. Was this the one we talked about making sure that the roads, somebody else owned them besides the city? Or town of Bryanhead?
You're right.
It was.
That was
you want to address that?
But they verified that.
They did.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I was asking. You do own them then?
Yeah, I've got a copy of the final plat with the dedications on it right there.
Can you introduce yourself again for the record? I know
Brett,
you're here.
Brett Hauser, town manager.
Thank you, Brett.
Brett loved to show up.
Other questions? Motions?
I guess this is going back, but was there some discussion? So the city owns the property. The property's not around. I guess my concern was, are we funding subdivisions? That was the discussion.
That has been a big discussion on this one. I think we've got a bunch of private property owners that are currently not serviced.
Right.
So this would be providing service to those.
Up to the private property, I understand.
Yeah.
Right, just stubbed at the... You have a right-of-way or an ownership of where these lines will go, or easement? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we own all the roadways, and they'll be within the roadways.
So, I think a lot of the struggle has been is why isn't this like a special assessment district that is paying for it themselves? It is all loan, but the whole town's bearing the burden of this. Is that correct? Or
we are going to do this via we are going to retire the debt via special assessment.
Okay.
And we're working on we've worked with all the property owners there, and they're all on board with that. They actually began this process with a petition to create an SAA. The our bond attorney has recommended to us that we structure it as sales tax revenue bond, just because it's simpler and cheaper. But then we're going to do the work to put the assessments in place. If you guys would prefer to do it a different way, that's fine with me. That's just what our bond attorney counseled us to do.
Okay.
That's during the bond.
Yeah. Okay. Motions.
Make a motion to approve it as been presented.
Okay.
Second.
Motion from Senator Winterton and a second from Mr. Zanotti to approve a $1,105,000 20-year loan, 2.5%. Does this have to be suspended fund, or is this going on the priority list?
Well, it has been, so it should be.
Is it a 20 or a 15?
Okay. Suspended fund, is that?
Yes. Is it a 20 or a 15-year loan?
It says
Jonathan.
I think, yeah.
Okay, because it said on the yes, it says 15. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it says 15 application.
Okay.
What, 20 or 15? I believe it was 20.
I think 15 is what we asked for, I believe.
I can always go less money, shorter term, but I can't, if you guys, whatever you approve.
Well, if they can do 15, let's just make it 15.
Go to 15 year.
Okay, so let me restate this amended motion from Senator Winter, if it's acceptable to Mr. Zanotti. It's a $1,105,000 15-year 2.5% loan suspended fund. Correct?
That's fine. Yes.
All right. Further discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
No
more projects. Our next project is a supplemental request from San Juan County Local Building Authority. We'll bring them back up to the table. Turn some time over to Candace on this one.
The supplemental request on today's agenda is from San Juan County Local Building Authority. It's concerning the new senior center at Blanding. This is supplemental in the amount of a $75,000 grant. The original funding was an $879,000 grant and a $571,000 loan on June 14th, 2018, I believe. I believe the construction is in the process. This request came in this week. It has to do with the parking lot. I'll let the project speak for itself and the people. I had a number of questions that I have emailed to San Juan County. One of them was, what is UBC?
I don't know what UBC
is.
I think it's construction material.
Yeah.
I don't work in construction, so I'm not sure what UBC
because
is.
Because that's on the estimate.
Yes, it is. And I'm assuming it's a fill for a dirt fill. I'm not sure what UBC is.
Anyway, the San Juan response to that was, I don't know what UBC is.
Yes.
This is a rough estimate of what they have encountered, and they may run into more issues, which is why Commissioner Adams said you need to go to CIB.
Yes.
And ask for a little more just in case those items need to be accommodated.
And I appreciate your willingness to...
Can you introduce yourself for the record, sir?
I'm Tammy Gallegos from San Juan County. I'm the aging director, and Candace was willing to work with me. I think it was Monday morning or Tuesday morning that I called and spoke with her, and it was a whirlwind. Due to our wet weather, and we just barely got to the part where they're tearing up and doing demo, they found some bedrock under pre-existing parking lot and building that they couldn't test drill there because there was parking lot and a building there. And with the wet weather, the water came in and the bedrock won't let the water go down. So we've ran into some parking lot issues, and we don't have any contingency left within the first initial ask because we used that on the building. So that would be why we're asking for supplemental. And I went with grant because if we went with bond, we would have to have a hearing, and the senior center's been closed for 3 weeks, and we're almost finished, and we need to get the parking lot done and get the building open.
So where's Commissioner Adams getting his meals?
Monticello. He doesn't go to Blanding.
Blanding.
Got it, sorry.
Yeah. But he has had meals at my center.
Okay.
Other questions? Senator Winterton?
We've got this project, and I hate to see it get stalled out. I would just make a motion that we fund as requested.
Second on the motion.
Grand.
Motion by Senator Winterton and a second from Mr. Zanotti to approve a $75,000 supplemental grant.
That would have to be suspended, too.
Automatically.
Because we've already done the project, right?
Supplemental automatically.
That is correct.
All right.
Further discussion. Commissioner Adams.
I need to explain myself a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I am a senior citizen. Has nothing to do with this project.
Call the question.
He forgot.
This question.
This created a significant burden on Candace, and I want to thank her because you asked for a project to be added to the agenda on Monday, and we're meeting on Thursday. She wasn't happy at first, but she's happy now. I slipped her a gift card to Walmart
you.
A little while ago, and so. No, Allison, that's not true. I'm just kidding. Anyways, I do want to thank Candace and the staff that allowed this to happen. I don't know what you do when you get a project that you're almost completed with and you come up with something that's unforeseen, buried under the ground. You know, you haven't seen everything in San Juan yet, John.
I haven't.
You've not
it's a
seen,
large county.
When you dig down under the ground, there's lots of things under there that you don't know about. Anyway, thanks, Candace.
Let's not think it.
Seeing no further questions, we'll put the motion for a vote. All in favor of approving a $75,000 grant, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're on to our board member discussion. Before we get to some of these things, I did notice we have the legislative audit team walked in. If you guys want to raise your hand there. So just as a note, we had an entrance conference. We kind of talked about that there would be an upcoming legislative audit in our last meeting at an entrance conference last week or 2 weeks ago. These weeks are running together for me, but you'll get to know them. I think they have interest in talking to each board member, so one or some or all of them will come or get in contact with you. So I just wanted to make sure you knew they were there. So when you talk about slipping Walmart gift cards, you realize the auditors are here and that isn't happening, and that is not a practice of this board.
So do you want us to put the ones you gave us away?
Andrea will pass out her card.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Thank you.
Anything I said in that regard was in humor?
Yes. Let's make sure we note that.
Yeah, off the record.
This legislative team has an overuse of N's because she's Andrea and Ben is Ben-n-n.
Oh. Double N.
So I don't know what that's about.
Lane only has one.
I know.
Good job, Lane.
So anyway, you'll get to know them a little bit. There will be an audit completed. So we're just getting started on it. So we have one entrance meeting, and I think they'll be, I'm glad they're here today to kind of observe a board meeting. But just wanted to make you all aware of that. Under our discussion, what did you want to say about the board packet tool, Candace?
Yeah, that's it. Did it work? We're still available for tutelage. I just want to also say we are not in the final format. They are going to format it specifically for the Permanent Committee for Housing and Community Development. It's close. They've done a pretty good job. It's taken a minute because this tool is a little more robust than the one we were using. You can take notes in it and you can... it's user-friendly. You can download the packet onto your computer. You don't have to worry about if there's not Wi-Fi. Anyway, if you have any questions, just contact staff. But it is still kind of the rough draft, and within the next few days or couple of weeks, then we will have our final iteration. But this is the agenda tool we will be using for the next 3 years at least. So... familiarize yourself with it. If you're having issues getting in, please let us know. I think that you have found it to be somewhat user-friendly. I realize you've had a short time to use it, but you'll have fun.
And I promise I will help anybody calls me 24/7.
Yeah, but it costs $10.
That's okay. I waived that. And then
I'm not going to make him pay me if I call him.
He's from San Juan County. They don't pay.
Commissioner Dalton.
Yes.
Noggy, I made some notes on it, and I went back in today to find them, and I couldn't find it.
You didn't save it.
I had to click save. Down at the bottom? I hit the button up at the top.
Yeah.
At the bottom. Okay, yeah. Up to the top it says save.
No. There's the box in the bottom says save.
Okay.
It will save you.
So ongoing training that we will be receiving on this product. I thought it was pretty good. I got into it, and it seemed very similar to Board Docs. I was able to find all the documents. So
one thing I have to remind everyone, when you have a strong Wi-Fi connection in your homes, your offices, download, push the download button the night before you come. So all your documents be downloaded to your system. Here we have a weak signal coming from this building for some reason and goes in the loop. So download everything night before coming for the meetings.
Is there any way to set the default size? Because every time you go into it, it goes a little teeny, and you got to blow it up. And you get a little teeny, then you blow it up, and you can't just go back to that. I couldn't get it to go back to the applicant. It went back, and then I had to open up the applicant and download the attachments again.
Okay, it meant people can do that, yes.
Okay.
So when we log in to, like, the peak agenda, are we using our email or the or our username?
You can log in. Use your username. Always.
Yeah, it was a long password.
You can't do that.
Yeah, what I did, then you go back. Ooh. I got down.
Which one?
Real.
All right, more information to come on that. At this time, our last agenda item is to consider a motion to enter closed session for reasonably imminent litigation. Is that the term? I got that right. So we need a motion and a vote of the two-thirds of the board, or just a majority
roll
of the board?
Call.
A majority roll
call.
Board and a roll call vote. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll make that motion. I'll second it.
So a motion from Commissioner Ogden, a second from Mayor Baker to go into closed session to discuss reasonably imminent litigation. Roll call vote on that. Mr. Galecki?
Yes.
Mayor
yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner aye. Ogden? Mr. Zanotti? Aye. Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Senator Winterton? Commissioner Dalton?
Yes.
I'll make the motion to leave closed session.
Second. I'll second.
So a motion from Commissioner Dalton, a second from Commissioner Lytle to end closed session.
Do we roll call back?
Yes.
Here? Clarification.
Yes.
Safe, but...
Yeah.
Let's start on this side of the room, Commissioner Lytle.
Jack Lytle, aye.
Commissioner Dalton, aye.
Senator Winterson.
Aye.
Chris Adams, yes.
Jonathan Hardy, yes. Okay, we're back in open session. We do not have any additional items on our agenda, so unless somebody has something they want to bring up, we can just have our final motion.
Motion
to adjourn from Senator Winterton.
Affirmation.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we are adjourned.